This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in on this fifth day of the month. Happy to have you with us on a Wednesday morning. I'm Mark, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show. That is Kim St. Ange. That is Carl Middleman. We'll get Sue Thomas in here to tell you how bad your commute in from Illinois might be today. Because yesterday was a complete mess. And I guess it's going to be that way for a while, from what I've picked up on. Sorry about that. You know, it's whew, that's rough. Not a good way to start. Anyway, we're going to get a little bit of rain, I think, today. It was sprinkling on the way in. I don't know what impact that's going to have on your drive-in. Man, I tell you, is anybody else bordering on exhaustion with the rapid pace of the Donald Trump presidency? Think about this. Yesterday was Tuesday. It was 2 weeks and 1 day after Donald Trump was sworn into office. We are going to eliminate the Department of Education. We're going to eliminate so much waste in foreign aid. We are going to secure the border. We've already got troops on the border. We're going to, but probably now, learn yesterday, solve the Middle East problem after all of these years. That news conference was absolutely one of the most amazing things I've watched in a long time. The press didn't know what to do. And then in the middle of it, Donald Trump drops the bomb that there's going to be a Trump Tower in the Gaza Strip someday.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He says all these things, and you know, Trump means what he says in many ways, and people don't take him seriously, but he'll actually do it. But some of the stuff he says, I just think, okay,
yeah,
you're just saying that for the shock factor, shock value.
Maybe he is, but I would make the argument here that one of the things that makes Trump so effective is that he has this ability to defeat his enemies before he goes into battle with them. And what I mean is, it's like going into a boxing ring with someone, but telling them ahead of time that you've already determined where you're going to put the championship belt, like before you step into the ring. It's a way of getting in their head to make them already feel defeated. And what he's done with this comment about Gaza is, I'm with you, Kim. I don't see the U.S. ever owning Gaza or taking control of it, because to do so would be the exact opposite of what Trump's always argued for, which is against American military intervention in foreign countries. He doesn't like doing that. But we have the manpower and the will to do it. But here's what he's done to get into the brains of Hamas, Before that could happen, the United States would and Israel would have to have wiped out Hamas. Like, it wouldn't exist anymore as an organization before that could happen. So basically what Donald Trump is telling you is, by the way, just so you know, I've already called in an interior designer to redesign your house that I'm about to own. And you're not planning on selling your house. That's the forward thinking that this plan is. I don't know if I honestly could see them sitting back there and Trump saying to Netanyahu, hey, I got an idea. When we're out there today, I'm going to suggest that the U.S. is going to take over Gaza after you rid it of all the vermin known as Hamas. And let's just see how that affects their psyche. That I think it's psychological warfare. I really do.
I think Trump, to your point, is very big on that.
Yes.
He says a lot of things, and a lot of these, like the tariffs, for example, you know, it's so much more of it is about closing the border and stopping the fentanyl from getting in. It's not specifically because he wants to put a tariff on them.
He plays the long game is what he does. And I do believe that we will see so many surprising things. I heard somebody say this yesterday, and I'll play you the soundbite. I don't have it in front of me right now. 100 years from now, like our grandchildren are going to look back on the Trump presidency as historic in so many ways that we can't even envision. Like when they're building statues to him someday, I honestly believe this. We can't imagine it now, but I think they're going to look back in history and it's going to judge what he's done here is pretty amazing considering the headwinds he faced and having to come back from, you know, the political badlands. I mean, seriously, he'd been put out to pasture in the minds of a lot of people in America, a lot of his enemies, and he's back on top. It is something to behold on a daily basis. Hey, we got a great show for you today. We are going to talk to Paula Scanlon coming up. She is a special projects ambassador for the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute. You know what that means. They are out there fighting every day for women's rights to keep men out of women's sports. We're going to talk to Paula coming up at about 6:20 this morning. Genevieve Wood joins us later today. John Solomon, our friend who's been on the show a number of times. He, of course, founded Just the News. He's one of the best journalists in Washington, D.C. He's going to join us at 8:08 this morning. And then, we'll, of course, we have Taylor Riggs from the Fox Business Network who can kind of put the impact of tariffs in perspective for us this morning. So we got all that coming up. Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
It's going to be big. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be a Trump Tower. It's going to be the Riviera of the Middle East. And you can imagine Islamic minds being blown as those words are coming out of his mouth.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. You are the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House.
Amen. Amen. Think of what that's saying. That's saying a lot, including the creation of Israel all those years ago through the UN. He's saying Trump's done more than any other U.S. president.
This isn't my money. This is taxpayer money. So we're not going to eliminate foreign aid. We're going to have foreign aid that makes sense. We're going to have foreign aid that works.
Why is that a shocking statement? Why is the left flip-flopping and drop-flopping in Washington over cuts to this U.S. aid program? I argue it's because many of them are getting kickbacks from the NGOs they're funding.
Some of my colleagues are screaming like they're part of a prison riot, that this is unconstitutional and wrong.
Yeah, John Kennedy there yesterday talking about this. He's like, where is this coming from? So I've said this so many times on this show over the years, Kim, that it bears repeating because it is a truth. No government program ever created has ever gotten smaller. In the My memory of this country, I can't think of anything. The New Deal was such a disaster for this country. Because it created an entitlement attitude that the government is going to come in and take care of you. Now, when you create that attitude, there's an expectation on people's part for Social Security or whatever else the entitlement is, that there's going to be a cost of living built into it. There's going to be, every year, it's got to grow a little bit until you have something that is out of control, which is what we have in this country. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, disability payments, all of these things that the government created as some sort of safety net have now grown into monstrosities that do nothing but eat taxpayer money. So when you talk about cutting, where do you cut? You better not cut my benefit. And therefore, these programs never get smaller. That's why what we're doing here with Musk is a game changer. If we can pull this off, if Donald Trump can pull off half of what I think he can, it might be the first time in modern American history where we've been able to actually shrink government in Washington, D.C. It would be a stunning development. And I heard Trump say this yesterday, and I agree with him completely. It was in the White House. He said, here's what I want. I want an investigation into who's getting kickbacks from this USAID money. Because there's no way all of these people are that excited over sending $50 million to Gaza or $20 million to Central America to create comic books. Somebody's making money off this, as evidenced by the fit Elizabeth Warren threw yesterday, if you were listening, in front of the USAID building. Listen.
Elon Musk is seizing the power that belongs to the American people. We are here to fight back.
Is there not an audio engineer, Carl Middleman, who works in Washington, D.C.?
Nope.
Honestly, why is that so overmodulated?
You heard Rubio, too.
I know. That's pathetic.
But they get very excited, Mark, and they scream.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren. That shrill voice grates on your nerves without it being overmodulated. Sorry about that. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here, just so you know, I have an idea what's going on here. Let's get to our national anthem. Carl, who are we playing today?
The United States.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
States Navy.
Kim, I know we've talked about the shocking price of eggs these days and how much it's gone up. It wasn't driven home to me until I read that the Waffle House is charging a 50-cent surcharge on eggs. And then yesterday I was watching a video I popped up on YouTube, and it, 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 It caught my attention because it looked like a drug deal going down. And this person walks up to this car and they roll the window, it rolls down, and they stick out a handful of cash, and the driver reaches down beside them and they pull out a baggie full of eggs just to give you an idea of what's going on. This would be the time when you want to patch your relations with your crazy neighbor who decided to start raising chickens a few years ago, and the rooster wakes you up every morning and you hate it, but they also have a fresh egg supply that you're now envious of. So I know there are communities where that has been a battle in the past, but you've got a reason to be friends with them, right? I mean, I would think you should want to do that anyway. It'll go back down. But here's what I love: the Democrats didn't complain about any of this when Joe Biden was creating the problem. Now they want to blame Donald Trump for it, right? Because of the bird flu in a few places, they've killed millions of chickens, and therefore egg production is way down, and therefore prices are way up, far more than any tariffs Donald Trump will put on anything. None of those eggs come from China.
Well, because a lot of the prices we've been hearing, as far as the way they've been impacted from inflation, I feel like Taylor Riggs, who I know we're talking to at 8:35 from Fox Business, she has said she doesn't really see those prices going down much. But maybe with eggs specifically because of all the chickens that have been killed, maybe that's different.
It will. As the supply comes up, those prices are going to go down. I don't have no doubt about that. And I also think that as energy prices fall, and that will happen, we'll see the price of goods go down because the cost of shipping them is going to go down. It may not be significant. But those prices didn't go up overnight. They went up over 16 or 17% inflation collectively over the past 4 years. These prices, in many cases, were pushed higher because of the energy policies and of the Biden administration. The anti-energy policies of the Biden administration played a role in a lot of the inflation that we have. The overspending played a role in the inflation that we have. So that's not going to be easy to fix overnight. I want to put my fist through my computer screen every time I see one of these lefties going off on, well, my gas prices didn't drop the first 2 weeks Donald Trump was in office. I'm thinking, you fool, you voted for the idiot who caused all this. And it's not going to be fixed overnight. It's going to take a little bit of time to get some of these prices back under control. But again, you can't blink or you miss things. They're going at such a rapid pace with the Trump administration. Yesterday they announced that they're basically stopping most funding that they're sending to UNESCO and all of these things with the United Nations. I got a press release on it this morning from the White House Communications Office. It's a mile a minute during this Trump administration. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Next hour, we'll talk more about the executive order to keep boys out of girls' sports. We'll be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
We talk so much about how the legacy media is clearly biased, and Trump really kind of spearheaded that effort, because I remember even when I was a journalist and he started this whole thing of fake news, which at the time really bothered me, and now I get why he said that, and I would agree with it, but being yelled that, you know, when you're at a rally trying to cover an event by the audience and they're all turning around screaming at you is very frustrating.
You get defensive, right?
You get defensive. Yeah. You feel like this is your passion. I'm doing my job. You don't feel like you are being biased, but oftentimes you just have your blinders on. And once you take your rose colored glasses off, it's very eye opening and you just can't put them back on. You can't unsee what you've been seen. I think whether or not the general public believes that ABC News and CNN or MSNBC, whether or not they will agree that they're biased, it's at least public. Like it's at least everyone's heard the whole notion of, well, they're fake news, right? I think the new concern I have is really these social media influencers. There's this one woman in particular who I had not heard of until yesterday. This was brought to my attention. But her Instagram handle is Sharon Says So. She has 1.2 million followers, many of whom I know. I'm friends with them, and I was looking at the list, and they seem to be very left-leaning friends. But what I think is especially dangerous is that someone like this woman, Sharon McMahon, which, by the way, no relation to Linda, who Donald Trump wants as the, you know, head of the Department of Education, she dubs herself as America's government teacher. She apparently became really popular in 2020 when the election was going on, and she says that it was because of her viral efforts to combat political misinformation. This is on her website. It says, "My knack for breaking down complex topics with clarity, humor, and steadfast commitment to facts has attracted a community of 1.5 million followers, affectionately known as the Governors."
Oh my gosh.
But the problem is that when you start going through her information, because I did, I went down a rabbit hole last night, it's not. It's left leaning.
Sure it is.
But that's the very frustrating part to me is, and one of the women, you guys have heard me talk about her before, but Allie Beth Stuckey, who is very clear about being Christian conservative, that's the lens that she talks about news stories from, I guess tried to call this woman Sharon out for being left-leaning, and she blocked her. And I guess that's kind of this woman Sharon's style. If anybody with a large following
challenges her,
yeah, her response is, "We'll just block them." I have no problem. If you want to put out your leftist ideologies and you want to talk about things like Matt Gaetz, this woman has a whole, I forget what they're called on Instagram, where it's those little bubbles, like the highlight reels or whatever they're called. She has all these highlight reels on Matt Gaetz and basically how crazy he is and how he deserves to be in prison. I don't care if you want to talk about things from your viewpoint, even if they are staunchly different than mine. Where I do have a problem is when you're sitting there and telling the public that you just give the facts, that it's no bias, you're neutral, you're in the middle, you can come to my page and you're going to get just the information, you're not going to see a slant. And far too many people, their eyes are, they still have those rose-colored glasses on and they sure can't see it. And that's, these Instagram influencers and TikTok, that's where so many people are going now. People are moving away from appointment TV where you turn on the 6 o'clock news or the 5 o'clock news like I would do growing up with my family. And now people are just watching these highlight reels on Instagram, wherever else social media platform that people are on these days. It's just, to me, this is the next thing we need to target. I think this is what Trump really needs to be pushing. It's not just ABC, NBC, CNN. It's all these faux, just ridiculous influencers who really have a lot of power over many people, a lot more people than probably would like to admit.
What do you do with that, though? Do you just bring awareness to it? Because, you know, all of these people who are dyed-in-the-wool left or passionate about their beliefs on the right have got their sources they go to, and if it's Steve Bannon or it's the lady you're talking about with this site, how do you attack that? Because the last thing I want to do is do what the liberals did, which is try to go onto social media and shut down voices I disagree with. Like, I don't think we can. I mean, I have concerns about that.
No, I don't think you have to shut them down. I don't think you cancel them, because they have every right to talk about what they want to talk about. I think what I have a problem with is them claiming that they're neutral. So,
I agree.
You know, maybe look what Trump was able to do with this whole idea of fake news. That's just like widely accepted now by a number of, obviously, there's quite a few people who wouldn't agree with that. But at least now it's a known thing. You hear that term a lot, right? Every press conference, whenever you hear a conservative congressman, they talk about that a lot. And maybe that's what we need to start doing with some of these social media influencers.
Well, and Trump has called a number of them to the mat. He's going to have millions of dollars for his presidential library because of CNN, right? And now apparently CBS is having to talking about an out-of-court settlement with him over the 60 Minutes piece.
The defamation lawsuit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the way they handled the Kamala Harris interview on 60 Minutes. He sued him over it.
Yeah, you mean for basically releasing doctored video,
right,
yeah.
Right, for falsely editing that to make it seem like Kamala Harris was capable of a coherent thought.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the raw video, that apparently is not the case at all.
Right.
So they edited it together to make her look better. And at that point, you're acting as an agent of one politician over another on what's supposed to be a network newscast. And somebody called him out on that. So maybe that's how you attack it.
I think you have to call people out on it. I think people like Ali Beth Stuckey, who have also a big following, I think it's going to take people like that calling some of these others out. And look, you don't have to unfollow them. If you like what this woman, Sharon says on Instagram, by all means, go follow her. But you should at least know what you're doing. I mean, it's kind of like Amendment 3. People, I'm sure a lot of these conservatives who are saying we want to put the vote back before the Missouri voters, I'm sure many of them, I hope many of them are actually pro-life. But I think their big point, because they were just discussing this yesterday in Jefferson City, is we feel like people were misled. If you're going to put this up before the voters, people need to have a true, like, neutral wording of something on a ballot, an amendment, not this slanted, you know, garbage that was given to people in November.
I am 100% on board with that. I don't know if it'll make a difference.
I don't know if will either, but we can't just do nothing.
I know, but if we had different wording on that ballot, but we still allow outside money and interest to spend hundreds of thousands, if not tens of millions of dollars on these ad campaigns, that's my question. There are guidelines on what you can spend on political campaigns in this country. I don't know why the state of Missouri does not, the legislators do not pass a piece of legislation that says if we're voting on a statewide issue in the state of Missouri, you are not allowed to accept contributions to individuals or to PACs from outside of the state of Missouri. So if you're going to run an issue on the ballot in the state of Missouri, the funding for that has to come from within the state of Missouri. And that would immediately, now the libs would scream about that, I'm sure, but that would immediately stop the left. If we're not going to pass IP reform, that would be one way to stop the left mm-hmm. from coming in and buying issues into the Missouri Constitution.
Right. I agree. I mean, you can't just rephrase the verbiage. I think you have to do more. But I mean, think about in general, that doesn't just stop in Missouri. So many of these lawmakers, congressmen, are just bought and paid for.
Yes.
They make decisions not based on what the voters who put them in that position, how they feel about it. They're voting based on the lobbyists and what they support because they're backing them financially. I'm not saying I know how to fix this. I'm just pointing out the problem that something needs to be done because far too many of these lawmakers on a local level and clearly a national level are bought and paid for, and it's disgusting. I look at that with the vaccines. I look at that with the food. Just everything that people are challenging, it's because many of them are bought and paid for.
That's absolutely spot on. I could not agree with that more. Yeah, it's food for thought, Kim. People need to consider what these sources are and maybe how we can fight some of that disinformation, I guess you'd call it, fake information going forward. And I wish there was a guidebook out there that people could use to determine, but it basically comes down to common sense. It basically comes down to common sense and reading everything so that you can come to your own conclusion on issues. That's what I try to do, for sure. What I tell you here is my opinion. But hopefully it's an informed opinion based on what I've read about these issues. So that's what we try to do here every day on the show. All right, coming up, we're going to get... I haven't had a chance to play much of this yet, and that is the meltdown that happened yesterday in Washington over Donald Trump and Marco Rubio cutting off the flow of cash to international issues around the globe, like trillions of dollars. And why does Jamie Raskin care so much? That's the question you have to ask yourself. We're going to get to some of that for you coming up here in a minute. Stay tuned. Another win. The wins keep coming so quickly, I can't hardly keep up with them. Ed Martin, as acting Attorney General in Washington, D.C., has been glorious so far. He sent a letter to Chuck Schumer demanding to know why he threatened United States Supreme Court justices. He's already investigating whether or not there have been threats against members of DOJ. It's fast and furious is what it is. And then yesterday we get this. Why didn't this happen already with the Department of Justice? Somebody explain this one to me, Merrick Garland. Anybody who wants to defend this? President Trump's administration launched investigations into anti-Semitism at five universities on Tuesday, following through on commitments he made during the campaign to tackle the rise of anti-Jewish hatred on campus. What took so long? Columbia, Northwestern, Portland State University, the University of California at Berkeley, and the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities. For many universities have tolerated widespread anti-Semitism, harassment, and the illegal encampments that paralyzed campus life last year, driving Jewish life and religious expression underground. And they're tired of it, and they're looking into it. From an administration that swore it was, you know, upholding people's rights and human rights and all that. No, here's all you need to know about the Biden administration and the left and their commitment to Israel. I said it. I preached it during the election. I'm like, I do not understand how you could be a Jewish person in the United States of America and ever cast a vote for the Democratic Party. And if you need any further evidence of that, listen to cut number three, please.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. You are the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House.
I paused the TV when I was sitting there watching. I'm like, wow. Wow. Thank you, Benjamin Netanyahu. You talk about a political survivor. He and Trump have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama sent U.S. Some of his ex-campaign workers to Israel to campaign against Benjamin Netanyahu 12, 15 years ago. And the guy's still there in charge.
Didn't they try to indict Netanyahu recently for war crimes because of his handling of Hamas?
Why do they hate him? Because he has one goal in life, and that is the continued existence of the Israeli state, the defense of and protection of the Israeli state by its many enemies that surround it on all sides. And he admitted yesterday at that news conference that the minute Donald Trump took office, he lifted an internal decision by Joe Biden to withhold arms from Israel in the middle of a seven-front war, if you listen to what he said. They're fighting a war on seven different fronts, and their biggest ally was withholding weapons from them. That, in a nutshell, should tell you all you need to know about the priorities of the left in this country. They don't care about Israel. They care about the religious zealots that surround Israel and want to annihilate it. It's anti-Semitism to the ninth degree. And this was on display. You could tell how much these two people appreciate each other because they're both political survivors. They know what it's like to have what appears to be overwhelming odds against you and to continue to flourish in that because you have the strength of your convictions. Listen to cut number one again, Carl, please.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area, do a real job, do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
So I watched Fareed Zakaria on CNN saying, the president can't do this. He would have to totally obliterate Hamas. How will he convince these 2 million Palestinians to leave their land? Well, number one, it's not their land. To begin with, and it's the acceptance of the biggest truth that the people who hate Israel want to accept. There will never be a two-state solution, ever. You cannot have a two-state solution when one state has vowed to destroy the other one. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I don't know that the U.S. ever steps foot in Gaza, to be honest with you. But as a strategy, it's quite brilliant because now they're chasing another shiny object. And I think it's fantastic. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Paula Scanlon about the EO keeping boys out of girls' sports. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.